Welcome to the Flourish Podcast, a community of ministry wives. This is a place for honest, safe conversations with guests from diverse ministry contexts, plus a little laughter along the way. So let's flourish together as leaders, wives, mothers, and missionaries of the gospel.
Hi, I'm Kathy Litton, and I'm so glad you've joined us today on our podcast. I lead the ministry for planters and pastors' wives for the North America Mission Board. And we love having conversations with women about mission and ministry in their family. And today I have a guest, Christine Hoover, who has become a real dear friend. And she's a planter's pastor's wife from Charlottesville, Virginia. You may have heard her name. She's written the book, The Church Planting Wife. But she also has a new book that she's recently published called Messy, Beautiful Friendships. So welcome, Christine.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to talk with you today, Kathy.
Well, I tell you what, we did podcast a couple months ago, and I don't know if anybody else enjoyed it, but you and I had a really good time, didn't we?
I always do when I'm talking to you. I always have a good time.
Well, we're going to talk today about friendship because you just wrote the book about it, so which I just want to tell you, Christine, I've enjoyed that book so much, and I find myself reading along, and I'll just see a sentence, and I think, I have thought that in my entire life about relationships, about friendships, but I would have never put it in those words, but you just really summed up something that I experienced in my own journey. So I really appreciate you doing that hard work.
Well, thanks for saying that. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
What kind of drove you to go down the road with that topic?
Well, friendship is something that I have personally struggled with in my adult life. I think kind of the second I graduated from college, I realized pretty quickly that friendship was not going to be as easy or even similar to how I made friends or maintained friendships in college and in my younger years. And so it became a huge struggle for me, but it was something that was a private struggle. I didn't think anyone else struggled with that. And we're wrestling with kind of insecurities or uncertainties about themselves. And I also became a pastor's wife during those years. And that added a layer of complexity for me with friendship that I did not know how to navigate. And so as I got older and as we moved to plant a church, I started talking more about it with people. And I realized that other women, not just pastor's wives, but other women in general, that this was a huge issue for them. And as women were kind of revealing themselves to me, I realized that I had an opportunity to speak into that and to tell them what I had been learning through those years, because I really started being more intentional about friendship and I had learned a lot. And so I really wanted to, and I had the opportunity to share that with them. And so I'm kind of passionate about this topic and I really like talking about it. And so I wanted to write a book about it too.
Well, I mean, the book dropped in April and I mean, you have to have had a flood of responses, reactions to the book. Has there been anything, some response you've gotten from women that kind of surprised you? Now, you've been down deep in the weeds in this topic in a couple of years, but have you seen any responses that just like, wow, this is more intense than I thought?
Well, I knew it was an issue for women, but I don't know that I knew just how much it's an issue for women.
Yeah.
And it's just not something that we talk about.
No,
and I don't know why.
Yeah, I keep thinking that. This is not easy for us to talk about because it's just, it's deep within us kind of to think something like this should be really natural and innate and easy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think there's some shame attached to it for people.
Yeah. Well, it starts as little girls too, doesn't it? It's not something we just discover. It starts with our relationships as little girls, and we continue to have some of those similar struggles even when we're adults.
That's right.
Well, today I want us to kind of pull the topic even a little bit closer to us by talking about friendships, a healthy perspective, friendships for pastors' wives, for ministry wives. You know, my whole life of being a pastor's wife, this has been a conversation. It feels like that most perspectives kind of swing between dramatic poles of like gloom and doom and stay away and don't make friends as a pastor's wife, or to, you know, bluebirds and sunshine and everything's just awesome. And there really is a perspective that's somewhere in the middle. And so after your journey being a pastor's wife and writing the book and hearing, let's talk about what a realistic view of friendship would be for a pastor's wife. What do you think a healthy perspective would be?
I think a healthy perspective, first of all, starts with the idea that it is a complicated thing that we're navigating. This is not something that's going to be easy. It does hold the opportunity for hurt and wounds, but I think it's worth the risk. And we have to have that perspective of that we can't stand. If we think, oh, I can stand apart from the church and be isolated, I think we set ourselves up for danger because we need the ministry of the body. And so friendship for us sometimes seems like, well, I can't possibly have that. It's too difficult for me. It's too layered with complexity. And so maybe just for me, that's just not going to happen. And I don't think that's healthy. I think we need to pursue friendship. It's good for us. We need that sanctification because it's really in friendship for pastors, wives, and pastors where we are going to be sharpened. Mm-hmm. A lot of people won't take that kind of boldness, be bold enough to say anything to us sometimes. And so I think friendship is important, but we have to acknowledge that it's complicated and it's risky. But I think also something that's helped me tremendously to have a healthy perspective on friendship is to be able to distinguish who friends are. And there have been times where I have not even been able to name a single friend, but I can at least name who are the people that when I'm around them, that I feel that I have been given life, that they are interested in me as a person and not just as a role. They're not just trying to get something from me, but they are genuinely caring for me. And being able to name those people and so that I can pursue time with them and see cultivate that relationship and see if that's a potential friend. And so I think the healthy perspective for pastors' wives has to begin with being able to distinguish between relationships and friendships. Because we have so many relationships, so many, we know a lot of people and a lot of people know us, or at least they think that they do. And we may know just basic things about a lot of people, but I think that's not friendship. And I think a lot of times I have personally coasted on that and thought, well, I have all these relationships. And so I am surrounded by people. So therefore must have friends. But then when it comes down to a time when I may need something or, you know, I need the support of someone, I don't know who to call because I may not have cultivated more of the friendship relationship. And friendship would be a mutuality of that. It's not just me ministering and serving that person, which I'm happy to do that. But if it's not returned, then that is really not going to be a relationship that's going to turn into friendship, if that makes sense.
No, that was a sentence in the book that really grabbed me when you said relationships don't always equate to friendship. And I'm like, again, I've experienced that, but I've never thought about it in those terms. But that's why we can appear to have all these people around us, but still have this loneliness. I want to go.
And I would add to Kathy, that I'm not talking about being exclusive and being bookish. And I'm not even saying naming those people out loud and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't spend time with you because you're not my friend. But just in your mind, being able to name, it's really a stewardship thing for me of going, oh, these are the people that I really enjoy, and they challenge me, and they know more the innermost thoughts and feelings that I have, and I want to make sure I'm spending time with those people.
Yeah. Well, I like, because while we're talking, I was thinking about the word joy, and you just said enjoy. I think that mutuality is a very important word, that there is mutual enjoyment in that relationship, that there is a giving and taking, and that they are life-giving. I mean, you know, Ed and I, you know, have some people in our life that we just love to go to dinner with because there's that. And it's not that we hang out all the time, but they provide this place of joy. And it, I feel like it's mutual, that we enjoy that presence, and there is a give and take to that. And, you know, I would say that it can be a subtle default for us as pastors' wives to think those relationships are just something we take from. You know what I mean? That, well, we need a life-giving friend because everybody else is sucking the life out of us. But then that's not really healthy either, is it, Christine? That's not mutual. You know, that's just, what can you do for me? And I want those people to walk away from a dinner with Ed and I saying, I love, that was good for me to hang out with them. You know what I mean? There's a mutual enjoyment in it. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I think of friends. You're right. I don't just think those are people I can call. But that helps me distinguish when there's a need. If it's coming from one of those people, I'm dropping everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely in. I'm helping no matter what. Because I think we're presented with so many opportunities and needs, and we have trouble distinguishing sometimes. Well, what am I? What should I give my time to? But friends, it's yes for me.
Yeah.
I can do it, I'm there. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Well, you've already suggested the next idea we need to talk about. It's just the risk. And there's risk for everyone in relationships. So I just want to caution pastors' wives to kind of take a pity party view of this. I mean, when you have relationships, you have risk, period. Now, our relationships are done in a very unique setting of a congregation, of a church, of a workplace environment, kind of, because...
Mm-hmm.
It's very tricky. We all kind of understand that. But there are risks, and we all have some fears in those. And probably in my mind, when I think about what I've heard from pastor's wife, is that, you know, that this relationship is going to go bad and they're going to hurt me. I mean, that's the biggest risk, that my husband may do something that would disappoint this person, and this, I would lose this friendship. What are some other common fears that you hear, Christine?
I think we fear that our confidences will be told to mm-hmm. others if we reveal a weakness or a need, that the people will see us differently, or they will share those with
mm-hmm.
other people.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think the biggest one is people are afraid, because it happens to everybody,
mm-hmm.
getting close to someone and then that person leaves the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very complicated thing. It's not just leaving the church, it's leaving the friendship, it feels like. And so that kind of thing, I think. But for me, I can speak for myself. One of my fears is that because of what my husband does and the role that kind of puts me in, that my friends will not understand that they won't understand the demands that brings and the complications for my schedule,
mm-hmm.
That they might not grasp or even be willing to listen to what that feels like for me sometimes. I feel that's a very fragile thing to me, to say those things out loud to people,
mm-hmm.
because I fear being misunderstood
mm-hmm.
in that, or it changing their view of my husband or me, really.
Right. Well, it does take an emotional and spiritually mature person to kind of befriend a pastor's wife with all these nuances, to understand that, I mean, it's dangerous, because we send the signal, or could send the signal, our lives are so important and we're so busy that, you know, we live in this stratosphere up here. And that's not what we want to project either, but there is
that's
a busyness.
Right.
I know you do a good amount of traveling and work in a ministry that's outside of your local church. And so you and I have kind of talked about that. You know, that makes even relationships more difficult in the local mm-hmm. setting. But you want someone that has the emotional and spiritual maturity to understand some of the unique demands that we have that, you know, we're not in control of all those things all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I do think when I look back on my friendships, and I love people, I love relationships, and I have had some amazing friends. But had you told me 35 or 40 years ago that there would be some amazing, rich, deep friendships that would come and go, and then I would be okay with that, I wouldn't have believed that. But now I see how friendships have come and gone. Friendships have come, and then sometimes they've changed. But, you know, I've learned to not think that's such a negative, Christine, that I've moved around, and my life has changed a lot. And I see that as amazing people for a season that God put in my life. And, you know, while it's changed somewhat, they all haven't been destructive or anything. It's just I got a new zip code, or they did, and that relationship changed. And I see those friends across these seasons of people that God brought in my life for the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't
linger over the fact that some of them didn't stay 40-year friends, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great point, Kathy, and that's going back to the healthy perspective. That has really helped me to realize that my longing for friendship is not a sinful longing,
right,
that it is not going to ever be fulfilled perfectly here,
mm-hmm,
that I need to let that longing for relationships and intimacy point me to the one who can fulfill that longing. And then when I'm satisfied in who Christ is and how he loves me, that he sees all and he understands me fully, even if I feel like others don't.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what I do to serve,
yeah,
him. And that if I'm satisfied in that, then I can receive the gift of friendship as it's given, because it's going to be given imperfectly,
mm-hmm,
but I can still receive that and I can give it, even though I give it imperfectly. It gives me the courage and the boldness to enter into relationships knowing that my security is in him, that I really am secure.
Right.
Because I'm going to get hurt. We're
right.
going to get hurt. But I can, my security is in him, and I know that he will help me even when I'm hurt.
That's
and I
right.
can continue to reengage.
Yeah. No, it's like, you know, earlier in your marriage, beginning to learn that your husband's not going to meet all your needs, and you take him off the hook, and you turn to Jesus, and you recognize he was never designed in me. And the same with our friendships. We have to take them off the hook of meeting all those needs. You're right. I will say this while we're talking about this risk. You know what? I've hurt some of my friends. I mean, it's gone the other way around. I mean,
yeah.
I have failed some friends. I have acted poorly. And in time, the ones that I know that are on my heart right now talking about, I have repented and owned things in those friendships. It may have taken a while, but I think we also have this idea that you know, we're always the one getting hurt, but sometimes we hurt people ourselves. So
absolutely. And I actually write about that in the book, about a relationship that I had with a woman who lived across the street from me and also went to our church. And we wrote the chapter together, but I hurt her,
mm-hmm,
in the ways that I responded to her. And I think that's good for us to think about sometimes,
yeah,
that we don't always enter into our relationships within our church in,
yeah,
the right ways.
Right. And no, we can play the victim sometimes, and that's,
yes,
that's not a healthy perspective. Another part of the book, Christine, that really spoke to me is when you said out loud in print that I have to be the initiator most of the time, and you said nursing bitterness about this does not help. And I do think that most of the time we have to initiate these kind of friendships, and that can be kind of wearing sometimes.
Yes.
And some women do this better than others, but I do agree with you. It's a risk to be an initiator.
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage women on this issue?
Well, like I said, or you just said it for me, I don't think it's good for us to waste time being bitter and,
mm-hmm,
mulling over this, the fact that we do have to be the initiator. I think that that's every pastor's wife, that's just the way it is. And I have gotten so angry about this at times and just wanted to tell everyone, you know, how I experienced that. But it really doesn't help. And so I think, you know, I can't change how other people respond to me, but I can invite people. I can initiate with people. And in a way, that's not just as a pastor's wife, but that's the way I can bless people and honor people in general, is by help. Everybody wants to be invited. Everybody wants to be loved. And kind of when I think about it like that, I have an opportunity to bless and love people by initiating with them. And so I just at some point decided I'm just not going to waste my mental and emotional energy anymore being bitter about this. I'm just going to do it, you know? And in some ways I can flip and look at the other side and say, well, in some ways that might be good. You know, maybe that gives me the opportunity to kind of say, to spend time with people that I do want to spend time with. And so I had to get over that. I feel like there was something else that you asked me and I can't. Was there another part to that question?
No, one thing I want to talk about before we go into our last topic really is having friends in different levels, so to speak. And, you know, the, you know, I have workout friends and you know what? They bring a kind of joy to me and camaraderie. And some of them are believers, some of them are not, but it, that is truly life-giving to me. And I think the other idea that everything has to be this deep spiritual kind of atmosphere and this relationship to call it life-giving, I just don't think is fair, you know? And having a fully orbed idea of the different kind of people that God may use to, you know, maybe you share a different hobby than exercise, maybe it's something else, but you get... I have a passerby friend that she rides horses. I don't know what you call that, a horsewoman. I don't know. But anyway, and I mean, she shares that passion with her friends. And I see pictures of her on Facebook and I can see that that brings her life, you know. And I think that's the other thing is broaden your viewpoint of how God might use people in your life.
And be open to different kinds of people. That was one of my downfalls in my 20s was I had an idea of what that friend was going to be. I called it my one friend to rule them all. I was looking for that person. And unfortunately, that person didn't exist because it was the perfect ideal. And I think once I released those standards, I started realizing there are people all around me who are fascinating people that I have excluded in my mind because they did not fit this certain mold that I had. And so I think if we can go into any conversations or relating with people with just an interest in who they are and learning their story, we find out that every person we encounter has fascinating stories and are fascinating people. I mean, we may not work with all of them, but if we're open to that, I think we discover good friends that we are unexpected. They're unexpectedly good friends.
I totally agree. I would say that's probably been very true of my relationships in the last 15 years. I, you know, to the discovery that this cookie cutter mold person was out there, but with so much, there's so much to learn and absorb from people that are very different, but yet there's some still kinship in that, that they may be ethnic diversity or they may have immigrated here. They have a completely different religious system. And yet there's something about them that draws you to them. And that friendship, while it never may have a lot of spiritual depth to it, it changes you the more you know them. And I think that's a great feature of friendship, too, that we're changed by meeting people.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, you sit in a place where there's lots of unique stories and where your life is there in Charlottesville. And it helps us to frame so many things when we let ourselves be exposed to, you know, a different set of people. And it's a heart change, you know. I tell you what, the one thing that also was so helpful in your book that we need to be intentional and we need to build time for these things in our calendar, because most of us know that we will fill up our calendar and fill up our calendar, but if we understand how important these life-giving relationships are that we have, that we will calendar and make sure that there's space on our calendar in a month for life-giving relationships. What does this look like for you? I mean, how can you recommend to any ministry wife out there, how does she try to schedule some of these things into her life?
Well, it goes back to the naming for me of who are those people that I I want to be regularly, consistently getting together with. And so once I know who those people are. And so what I try to do, I feel like I'm so annoying to my friends because I'm like, can we plan for 2 months from now to have lunch on this day? But they kind of know now. I mean, they make fun of me for being so scheduled, but I have to be. And I feel like a lot of pastors' wives, that's what it takes is getting things on the calendar before the church calendar fills up. And so that's something that I try to think ahead and even talk with my husband, because we'll talk about who are couples that we want to spend time with, and trying to jump out ahead of the kids' calendar and church calendar and all of that, and just try to plan things. And so again, being the initiator, and being that annoying person who's trying to plan way in advance. But I also try to think about times that are generally available to me. Look, whenever I had small children, one thing I would do is I would get up really early and meet people for coffee before my husband had to be at work. And so I could be back before he had to leave. And that is not something that I loved doing. I do not love getting up early when it's dark in the winter and going out to meet somebody. But it was always something I was really glad I did once I had done it.
That's how desperate you were, Christine. That's how desperate you were. I'm going to do this.
Yes. But I also knew it's kind of like investing in something. You know, you don't really want to put your money in where you can't get to it.
Right.
But you know, in the long run, it's going to be good for you. And it's going to be something that you're so glad that you invested in. That's how I look at it, is just because I'm an introvert. I am exhausted at the end of the day. There's times where I don't want to plan something, or I don't want to go out and meet somebody, but I'm always glad that I did it. And so I try to tell myself that this is something that I'm going to be really glad I did.
No, I think for women like yourself, an introvert or an ambivert, which we know is a little of both, but that, the payoff is so positive, that nudge that you have to give yourself, that thing that forces you out the door. If you can get through that moment, once you're into that conversation or that shared experience or whatever, you say, this is helpful. This lifted my soul. This took my mind off something else. It was just life-giving. It was soul refreshing. And it is really emotional and spiritual health maintenance, that if I see people in ministry, this is not people that are just introverts. They're true loners. And I don't see those people in healthy places. If it's the man or the woman, either one. And I feel sorry for them. And I know that long term, that's probably not going to end well. And so that investment can be a game changer. As a mother, when I was a young mom, Christine, and you're in that season, the play dates at the park were more about me than my kids, you know, and the being with those other moms and to hear laughter returns, understand we're all in the same boat. I mean, those aren't little things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I made the mistake though of doing those things. I would do those things, but then when I was with other women, I wouldn't open myself up to them. I wouldn't be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge problem for me in my 20s as well. And I read about that in the book, but I think we have to be willing not only to initiate spending time with people, but initiate vulnerable conversation with people, because they're not going to generally do that with us first if they know we're a pastor's wife, especially. Right. And so we also want to initiate that kind of conversation, and that is super risky.
One of my favorite definitions of vulnerability is a risk we take for a greater good. And there is a true risk, but that greater good of sharing your heart, exposing a weakness, discussing a difficulty, the greater good is it comes into community, it comes into relationship, it may come into accountability. You really, there is a risk, but the good outweighs the risk. So
definitely.
Well, Christine, I hope women that are listening, if they have not heard of Messy Beautiful Friendship, they will run out and check it out on Amazon or wherever they shop and get their hands on this book. And I think it's a great tool, and I'm really glad you've written it. So we're going to close out this podcast, and I want to encourage pastors' wives, as you have listened to this, I understand that our culture is a little bit unique, and Satan wants to kind of keep us in a snare over this conversation because he likes to have women isolated. He likes women to be loners. He does not want us in community. And so I hope that you will take Christine's words and you would take them in your heart and recognize that friendships are a gift of God that we need to enjoy. And we understand the lay of the land. We don't get tangled up in that, but we move forward and we build good friendships. And if you need help, I guarantee you, you'll find some help in Christine's book. So thank you, Christine, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Flourish Podcast is a ministry of the North American Mission Board. For more information about Flourish, visit namb.net/flourish.